And it is the greatest story ever been told. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. So many things happened in the last 7 days. It almost seems like it was 2 weeks ago that I preached what I did last Sunday. So, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. If you remember, we were looking at Be Not Drunk with Wine, chapter 5, verse 18. Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit is really, it's not a secret because it's in the Scripture, but it seems like so many people don't grasp it and understand it that it almost appears like a secret. But if you will not grieve the Holy Spirit, you will not quench the Holy Spirit. If you would walk in the Spirit, then you can have some victory over sin in your life. And the Scripture tells us that as a result, it will affect your music, verse 18. It will affect your attitude of thanksgiving in verse 20, and it will have an effect on your relationships, particularly in relationships to authority. So we dealt last week in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is mutual submission. And of course, we're talking about this word submitting. It is a word which has to do with properly arranging yourself under certain authorities. And we illustrated that. One illustration we gave of that is like the game of chess. You have certain pieces on the chessboard. You have the king, who is, you lose the king, you've lost the game. You have the queen, which is the second authority under the king, and then there's bishops and knights and rooks and pawns. So each has their own place of authority. And we saw that mutual authority or mutual submission has to do with, that a person who is in authority sometimes submits to the desires and wants of those who are under them. But that does not erase the authority structure. We find when we come to verses 22 up to chapter 6, verse 9, that there are these authorities. And we mentioned that there's the authority in marriage in verses chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. There is the authority of parents over children, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We have submission of servants, or we could say employees over, or they are to submit to their employers or the masters. 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy 2 also speak about the authority of women, that they are not to usurp authority over the man in the church. And we find that the younger are submit to the older. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Civil rulers are to be submitted to by citizens. Chapter 13 of Romans, verse 1. And believers Church members are to submit to spiritual leaders, Hebrews 13, 17. So you have these authorities. Now, when we consider this context of chapter 5, verses 22 to chapter 6, verse 9, we find a very interesting pattern. In each one of these cases, you're going to see that the apostle, under the inspiration of God, deals with the person needing to submit to the person who is to be submitted to. So you'll see that in the family, wives to their husbands. You'll see in chapter 6, you see that pattern again. The children who are to submit and the fathers who are to be submitted to and how they are to behave. And then we see it in chapter 6, verse 5, that servants who are to submit to their masters, and then he deals with masters in verse 9. So we come to this whole subject of the home. Luther called it the household code. The household code. And this was something that was used in the for years, you know, that this is what God says the home should look like. And we're going to begin this morning with the role of the wife. The role of the wife. And of course, one of the reasons I emphasized what I did last week when it talks about mutual submission in verse 21, that there is a sense in which those who are in authority can abuse their authority. And we need to be alert to that. But I want us to understand that the Apostle Paul, under inspiration, makes this command. He says in verse 22, and I want to read verses 22 through verse 24, because we're going to look at the role of the wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So I want us to address this a little bit, because obviously you can get up and preach something like this, and if a person is not a Bible reader, even if he's not a Bible believer, this sounds like male chauvinism to me. That's what a lot of people will say. And it almost seems somewhat it almost seems like an attitude that came from way back, and we don't do that anymore. But we have to understand that God has given us some commands, and it's not like we're taking a verse out of context and we're coming up with something that isn't repeated over and over again. In the scripture, the Bible regularly makes this statement that wives, and if we were to use the chessboard, are the queens that are under the submission of the king. Now that sounds radical. And I'm not suggesting that we're dealing with autocracy here, that you're autocratic and, you know, I'm the king, you know, and everybody's got to do my whims. But there is a sense where there is this hierarchy. So, first of all, I want us to look at the command of submission. We see this all the way back in Genesis. And if you go over to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, And it tells us in chapter 3, after Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it says in verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Now, no one doubts that it is not fun giving birth, at least until after the fact. And there's sorrow involved in that. And it says, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Now that is a very vague expression. And I personally think that the word desire there, we can get a great understanding of that when you go over to chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, when it tells us in verse 7, if thou doest well, now this is what the Lord said to Cain, thou shalt not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall his, talking about sin, desire you. So in other words, sin wants to, in a sense, rule you. Now we have a sin nature. And one of the great problems we have as believers is that when we got saved, God did not take away the sin nature. And sin is always trying to dominate our lives. Now, he says, and thou shalt rule, and you'll be ruling over sin. So in other words, the idea of desire here, and this is the word that I'm talking about, the word desire there has the idea of wanting to control, I believe. Now, if that is to be understood, and there's a couple other interpretations of that, but that makes the most sense to me. You know, some would look at chapter 3, verse 16, and say that that your desire shall be to your husband. That doesn't seem like much of a curse to me. You know, you'll still love your husband, you know. But nonetheless, there's those opinions of that. But if we understand it this way, that the woman or the wife will tend to want to dominate the husband. And the husband shall be ruling over you. And there's this power struggle. Now, it is interesting that you'll see. Now, regardless of how you want to take the word desire there, you do see that the husband, as a result of the curse, is going to rule. Now, if you go over to the book of Colossians, let's go back to the New Testament, the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18, we have the very same word that we saw in Ephesians when it says in verse 18, and can we read this out loud together? That way I can make sure you're following with me. Look at chapter 3, verse 18. Ready? Let's read this. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. So that is very clear there as well. If you go over to the book of Titus, in the book of Titus, and in the book of Titus, chapter 2, and we're told that in verse 4, that they, okay, so in other words, Paul is telling Titus, teach sound doctrine, verse 4, that that they may teach the younger or the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Now, the word obedient that we have in our translation is the same word that's translated submission, submitting in chapter 5 of a book of Ephesians. So, again, we have this being emphasized. One more verse I'll take you to. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. Now, in 1 Peter, chapter 3, we're told in verse 1. It says, likewise ye, what's the word? Okay, let me try that a little bit better. I want to make sure you're there. Likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, it's important that we understand that we are not just dealing with some questionable thing here. We're talking about something that is repeated over and over and over. That biblically, wives are to submit to their husband. Now, I just came from a funeral. I have unsaved family members, and they do not have, many of them, the Bible as their authority. The Bible is, as a Christian, our final authority. And so as a result, when the Bible is not somebody's authority, and the culture is, then to come along and say, well, the Bible says, they don't care what the Bible says. But we, as believers, we believe that the Bible is inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And if we are believers of the Bible, and the Bible is our final authority, it really doesn't matter what everybody else says the relationship of the husbands and wives should be. The role of the wife is to be a subordinate role. It means they are arranging themselves under the authority of their husbands. Now, if I wasn't a Bible preacher, I might say, man, I don't like this. People aren't going to like me if I preach this. I would have skipped to verse 1 of chapter 6. Or I may have even skipped to verse 25. But we have to understand that God has given us these words. Now, we understand as well as what I mentioned last week that there are people who abuse authorities. So this is why we need to understand a little bit of the context of what this means. All right? So what does this mean? And we will repeat a little bit of what I just said earlier. The meaning of submission is to submit. And we could even understand, if you look at verse 33, this could also include reverence toward our husbands. Now we have to understand this. In verse 22, it does not say, husbands, make sure your wives submit. At least that's not what my Bible reads. Does yours read that way? Husbands, make sure your wives are under your thumb. No. Actually, this is a present, this word submit is a present middle imperative. It's a command. And middle being that it is the idea of this is something you voluntarily do. This is not something forced necessarily on you. Now, how do you know if you're willingly submitting to your spouse? Well, when your husband has to constantly saying, you're not submitting. You're not letting me lead. You're not letting me be the one who's in charge. And you're constantly questioning his authority. You can be sure of the fact, if that is the case, you're probably not willingly choosing to be submissive. Another thing to understand in this verse, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto who? Well, let me hear it. Your own husband. It's not saying that wives have to submit to everybody else's husband. You see that? It's wives have to be submissive to their own husbands. You know, and a godly husband is going to try to do everything he can to protect his wife, maybe in their jobs, or maybe in their work, in a church even, where they feel like they're under the thumb of some man. And the Bible tells us, no, wives are to submit unto their own husbands. Now, what's also interesting here, and I'm trying to help us understand the context of this, it tells us you are to do this as unto the Lord. Now, this is the manner in which you are to submit. And I'm going to quote Mark Minnick, because I think he says it best here, because he says, it doesn't mean, of course, that your husband becomes your Lord. I knew of a spouse who took these words, and also you'll see it in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, and she would say to her husband, yes, Lord. As if that spouse was her Lord. And that's not what this is saying. What it is saying is that your husband, this is a parallel between the way you yield to the Lord Jesus Christ and your yielding to a human authority that Christ has put in your life. So in other words, you're saying, I'm doing this for the Lord. And there is a sense that he does have an authority. And so therefore, in doing this, I am going to do it to the Lord. And I'm going to do it because I'm submissive to my Lord. You know, I worked a job, and this we'll get into this when we get into the employer-employee passages. But I worked a job where, you know, my boss was making me do all kinds of duties around work. You know, sweep the floor, do this. And that was fine. But I noticed everybody else working with me was at the card table, at the lunch table playing cards. And I got a little bummed out over that. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Why am I doing all this and nobody else is doing it? And I think I approached him and he made some excuse, I think. But then it dawned on me, you know, I'm not doing this just for him. I'm doing this for the Lord. So I want to do my best. I'm not saying let somebody take advantage of you, like this guy was. But in other words, I am to submit, if I'm a wife, I am to submit to my husband because I am submitting to the Lord. And he is, in a sense, as you'll see in 1 Peter chapter 3, when Sarah called Abraham her Lord, he literally was called, he's my master, he's the one that's in charge. So, Submitting, we have to understand, and let me reiterate what we said last week. Submitting has nothing to do with superiority. Submitting has to do with proper rank. So just as in the military, the sergeant has to submit to those who are in higher authority over them. The private has to submit to the sergeant. But it has nothing to do with somebody being better than you. As a matter of fact, if you hold your hand here, go over to the book of Galatians, because this is misunderstood a lot. In Galatians chapter 3, it tells us in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. So in other words, men are not better than women. And as this verse is saying, one nationality is not better than another nationality. So it has nothing to do with equality. And as we showed you last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that Christ submitted himself to the Father. But that didn't mean he wasn't equal with the Father. But he submitted himself to that rule. So we have to understand submitting has nothing to do with equality. And let me also say this, submitting has nothing to do with culture. And sometimes people come along and they say, well, that is cultural. So therefore, we do not have to obey this because it's cultural. But if you go over to the book of 1 Timothy, you'll see in 1 Timothy chapter 2 when the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, verse 12, we saw that and this has to do with women in the church, but he says in verse 12, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why? For Adam was first formed. Now, it had nothing to do with culture. Paul did not say, well, the Greeks practice it this way, or the Romans practice it this way. No, it goes back to the creation. God created Adam, and then he created Eve. And in 1 Corinthians 11, and I'm not going to turn there, it basically says, why did God create Eve? He created Eve for the man, that they could be a helpmeet. So it has nothing to do with culture. And I understand that if somebody were listening to this, they might say, oh, there's one of those old-fashioned preachers. You know, they just don't understand that they're not up to date in the culture. It has nothing to do with culture. It has everything to do with the place that God has put us on the chessboard, if you will. So, there is this idea of wives, and if you come back to the book of Ephesians, and I want us to go back there because I don't want us to lose that spot. In Ephesians, when it tells us in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Now, that brings up an interesting discussion. What ways do wives not submit to their husbands? Have a book, it's called Formula for Family Unity by Walter Fremont. And he brings up some examples of what this looks like. So he said, women or wives sometimes do not submit to their husband. And he uses all S's, so that makes it easier. they don't submit to their husbands, and they illustrate that by their scheduling. Their scheduling. In other words, they use well-ordered household schedules to bring their husbands under the same authority as their children. Now, I'm not against being scheduled, but, you know, some wives, you know, they treat their husbands like their children, you know, and if you want supper, you better be here at 6 p.m. Or if you have any regard to your family, you will run these errands immediately. And that can be a way in which wives can usurp the authority over their husbands. Another thing Fremont talks about is spending. So wives can charge up the credit cards and control their husbands that way. And so-and-so has this, so-and-so has that. You know, if you were a better husband, you would make, you know, you'd work overtime. And you'd provide all these things for me. So they can control their husbands by spending. The third S is sex. To gain control, the wife may be loving and receptive, but when she cannot dominate the situation, she becomes cold and negative. A fourth way is sickness. Convenient backaches, headaches, pains can be a good excuse for adapting the husband's careful planning to fit into the wife's desires. Troubles with nerves is usually nothing more than a selfish method of making family activities revolve around the wife. Fifthly, sobbing. Well, that's a method. I tell you, I can get my way, a woman says, if I just start crying. And to get ways in important matters, she starts crying. If you loved me, you wouldn't do this to me. You would treat me better. Sixth way he mentions is spirituality. When a wife is stronger spiritually, she might say, well, the Lord has spoken to my heart, and I think you ought to do it this way. And I know you want to make this decision, but I think I have a better inroad to God than you do, so therefore you need to listen to me. Silence. You know, that is a very effective method. I've done a lot of counseling, marriage counseling, and I've seen this. You know, so, you know, and I won't talk to you until you do what I want. What's wrong? Nothing. Why are you sad? I don't know. How can you say it's nothing when there's something? Talk to me. Silence can be a way that a wife can try to dominate the situation. Or, number eight, he mentions suicide or divorce threats. Now, you always want to take seriously when someone starts talking about suicide. But they can be it can be a very effective tool that says, you know, if you don't do this for me, I'll just end it all. Or you use the D word. It's called divorce. Now, obviously, any loving husband, as we have mentioned last week and we'll mention here, is going to want to be regarding to their spouse. But we have to be very, very careful that we do not misunderstand that the wives are going to have to be in subjection. You know why? Because, let me tell you why. And this is the reason why. Look at chapter 5, verse 23. What's the first word there? Four. Okay. Now, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, we talk about the head. Now, apparently a lot has been written on what is the head. That means, you know, could it mean just, you know, there's influence there or what? But no, we have to understand this word head in the context of Ephesians. And if you look over to chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, you'll see that, and it says in verse 22, talking about Jesus, I mean, how God hath put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be the what? Head over all things to the church, which is his body. So, obviously, this is a word having to do with authority. That he is the one that is controlling the life of the church. Chapter 4 and verse 15 talks about speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And it's through Christ being the head that things move smoothly. Now, if you go over to chapter 5 and verse 23, it's obviously speaking of this in the context of authorities. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he's the savior of the body. So in other words, Christ is our savior. If you do not know Christ as your savior, that means that you need to come to him by faith. For by grace are you saved, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, this does not mean necessarily that your husband is your savior, though there could be circumstances where your husband was influential of getting you out of a bad situation. But there is a sense in which the husband needs to be a protector of the wife, and that Christ is the head of the church. And so therefore, verse 24, as the church is subject, there's that word again, submission. As the church is in submission unto Christ, what it's telling us here, that as the church is in submission in Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Now, they're to be this to their own husbands in what things? What does it say? All right, so let's explore that a little bit. So if Christ is your authority, and this is why I'm saying, if you are a believer, and I want you to understand, people think, you know, I dealt with a bunch of people last week who, oh, I love Jesus, but they don't want to do what he says. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this? And Jesus says, why call you me Lord when you will not do the things that I say? So we are dealing with, just as Christ, who is our head, is the one that we are in submission to, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, we've got to explore that, because you think, okay, that mean if my husband told me to jump over a bridge, you know, you hear that with parents. If your friend told you to jump off a bridge, would you do it? You know, this kind of thing. So if my husband told me to do something that I didn't want to do, that mean I still have to do it? Because see, this is where submission shows up. Submission shows up when there is a disagreement. You know, some people think they're submissive wives because they get along with their spouse. What it really means, they're just in agreement with their spouse. They would do that anyway. But what about when the spouse in the disagrees with the other spouse? You know, I've often said a two-headed monster will destroy itself. And this is why God has set authority structures. So, to what extent are you not needing to submit to your husband? Well, let me bring out three levels. The first level I would call preference. There are some things that are preference. You know, he likes blue, I like green. Here's a good question. How do you squeeze the toothpaste out of your toothpaste holder? What is that called? Tube, yeah. How do you squeeze the toothpaste out of your tube? The end, or do you roll it up at the end? Now, some spouses get into arguments over this stuff. Or to use the words of Ben Strobain, years ago came to our church, he called it the toilet tissue issue. Do you roll the toilet paper this way or that way? Now, these are things that really are of little consequence. Though, I would say that some people make a big issue out of things like that. And when it becomes something that your husband, wives, say, no, I want it this way. Let him have it his way. Now, if he's regarding toward his wife, he may say, I don't care, do it your way. So there's preferences. But what about convictions? What happens when you have a conviction about something and your husband doesn't go for that conviction? Now, let me tell you an example of what I mean. Let's say, for instance, you as a wife have been saving up some money. And now you have a couple $100s. And maybe there's a missionary project. And maybe you get a prayer letter and so-and-so needs to get some money to do some work on the mission field. And you feel, I think God wants me to do that. To give all my money that I've been saving for the last 2 years to that missions project. Now, what if your husband says no, finds out about it, I don't think you should do that. Matter of fact, don't do that. Do we have any direction scripturally over stuff like that? Turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 30. And in Numbers, chapter 30, now, you'll see, for instance, in this passage of Scripture, talking about when a man makes a vow. Chapter 30, verse 2, if a man vow a vow. But notice verse 3, if a woman also vow a vow, and she's living in her home, her father can keep her from keeping that vow. What if she's married? Look at verse 6. And if she had all an husband when she vowed or uttered aught out of his lips. And we're told that in verse 8, the husband disallowed her to keep that vow. Notice verse 8 at the end of that verse, the Lord shall forgive her. So in other words, when it comes to something that isn't necessarily a biblical mandate in Scripture, but a conviction she has, that God is not going to hold her to that decision hold her to breaking her vow because her husband disallowed it. So there's preferences, there's convictions, but what about commands in the Bible? What does the Bible say about when God says to do something? Now, if you go over to the book of Acts, chapter 5, and many of you know where I'm going with this, but I just want to say it quickly. Matthew chapter 5, we're told in verse 29, Peter was commanded to no longer preach in the name of Jesus. And in verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So in other words, there's a higher authority over them. And that authority is God. So what if the wife says, I got saved, I want to get baptized. You can't do that. You've got to obey God rather than man. What if he won't let you go to church? Well, you've got to obey God rather than man. What if, in the case of one case where I heard where a woman was reading her Bible to their children, the husband got all upset and he took the Bible and he shredded it in pieces. No, you've got to obey God rather than man. Now, you better be wise. Because sometimes he could hurt you. So my point is this. We ought to obey Christ as a church, as believers. But the wife should obey in everything. And of course, that obedience for those things that are specifically mentioned in the Bible are to be, we are to obey our higher authority even over our husbands. Now, I want to end, because our time is up, and I think I will deal one more message on this, not next week, because we have a team coming in. Because we do have to address the issue, what about, does submission have anything to do with the godly character of the husband? Now you think about that, and you come back with some scripture as to what you should do in that. But the role of the wife is to submit to her authority. Thankfully, a godly wife who has a godly husband is going to be very regarding to his wife. This is why, fellas who aren't married, be careful who you marry. Why, ladies who aren't married, if you cannot submit to the authority of that man, don't marry him. To be very, very careful that you allow yourself to stay biblical in your role as a wife. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for all that you do. You've been so faithful to us. You've given us so many things. I ask that you'd be with our wives because it's not easy being in a subservient role. Be with our children. Be with our employees. Help them, Lord, to be careful how they respond to the roles that you've given them in their lives. And Father, if there be somebody here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and have not placed themselves under the authority of Christ, I ask that you would bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And for those who are saved, help them, Lord. Give them strength. Give them wisdom. And we'll praise you for all that you do. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. And maybe God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you'd just like to be saved. You'd like to know for sure when you die, you go to heaven. We'd love to meet with you and to talk with you. And if you are a Christian and God is dealing with your heart over anything, maybe something we didn't even mention, if God is dealing with your heart, feel free to come during the invitation. And if no one comes, we'll close the service as the pianist plays. And you can look this way. Thank you for coming today. We are going to be dismissed, but I hope you'll come back tonight at 5 for our Institute class. Those of you that are involved in that, don't want to miss it. And then, of course, at 6 o'clock, Pastor Nathan is in the Psalms, right? Which one are we dealing with? Psalm 51. That's a great psalm. So I hope you'll come be with us tonight. Brother Nathan, would you close this, please?
First of all, be submissive unto you.
Amen.
Lord, if we're not submitting to you, we can't expect our other relationships to go as planned. And Lord, I thank you for the women in this church and for the godly wives that I know I've been blessed with, and many other men in this church could echo that as well. Lord, I pray that they would continue to follow your guidelines. Lord, I pray for us men as well, that we would be loving husbands, even as we'll deal with in the coming weeks. And Lord, that we would not take advantage the authority structure you've put in place. Lord, help each one of us to live the life that you want us to live, and Lord, that we would keep our soul right with you, and we would truly be able to say that we have surrendered all to you. Thank you for your love, Father. I pray that you would give us a good afternoon, help us to continue just enjoying your presence and fellowship today. Bring us back safely tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.